Namanda, vutsu 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 namanda.
I'll begin by reading a passage from the hymns according to the Amida Sutra. This is found in the Kyogyo Shinsho, a collection of writings that Shinran Shonin, the founder of our tradition, felt were particularly meaningful for us in our own lives and journey in the Nembutsu. I invite you to join me in Gassho. Gassho wo onegai shimasu. Practice in this world of the five defilements is full of regressions. Nothing can equal saying the Nembutsu and going to the West. Once there, one naturally realizes perfect enlightenment. Returning to the world of suffering, one becomes a bridge for others. Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be back here in San Mateo. Last weekend, I was in Salt Lake City. I went to Salt Lake to speak for their Ohigan services, and it was a very interesting experience to be in Salt Lake. I'd been once before, but I'd never really left the city, and I got a chance to drive up and down the mountains and to see this beautiful snow-capped peaks that are around that valley between Salt Lake and Ogden and Honeyville, where there are three Buddhist temples there in the Oregon area. And the whole time as we were driving, you always kind of knew where you were because you could see the mountains were there kind of right along the side of the road. And I was thinking, you know, if you lived here, it would be very difficult to get lost because you would always be able to see the direction of where you were. And at one point, we were driving along, and Reverend Hirano, who is my host, the minister of the Salt Lake Buddhist Temple, who also supervises the other temples there in Utah, said, I want to take you to a town. I think it'll remind you of home. And I thought, okay, oh, this sounds good. So he drove me to this little town, the town of Brigham. It's a little town. And as we were driving through, he's like, isn't this just like the Midwest? And I was thinking, well, kind of. I mean, it's a little country town that you might find anywhere in kind of rural America. But I said, Sensei, in the Midwest, we don't have giant snow-capped mountains sort of rising up into the skyline. It completely transforms the landscape. You know, this to me is a cowboy town. This is not like a Midwestern town. But as we were driving through this town, I was thinking about the small towns of my childhood, and particularly the small towns around where my mother grew up in a very rural part of Iowa. And I was very fortunate. I didn't have to do any driving. Those of you who know me know I don't really like to drive that much. And so I just got to sit back and relax and get a nice ride in Reverend Hirano's Lexus and just kind of enjoy the scenery. But I was thinking about the times when I've had to drive myself around where my grandparents live, particularly before the days of GPS. And even now we kind of rely on our cell phones for GPS, but where my grandparents live, I get no cell phone reception whatsoever. But I was recalling one experience particularly I had when my grandfather was getting older. He's now passed over to the other shore, but before he went into a nursing home, he was living at home with my grandmother on their farm out in the country. And on one occasion when I was back visiting, we went down to Iowa. And my mother asked me, you know, she said, I think, you know, your grandma really needs a break. So I'd like to take her, you know, shopping for the day. So can you just, you know, keep an eye on grandpa and spend time with grandpa? You can take him to his favorite lunch or his favorite restaurant for lunch in town. And, you know, and then you can just when you come back, just turn on the TV. He likes to watch the country music station. And so I said, okay, that sounds fine with me. So as we were kind of getting ready to leave, you know, my grandfather kept asking me, he's like, where'd those ladies go? Where's your mom? Where's those ladies? I said, oh, grandpa, you know, they went out shopping for the day. Oh, gonna spend lots of money. He says, oh, you know, okay. And then, you know, we sort of get packed up. It's like, okay, Grandpa, we're going to go out for lunch. And where'd those ladies go? Where are they? It's like, oh, Grandpa, they went shopping for the day. We're going to go to this restaurant you like in town for lunch. He said, oh, they're going to spend lots of money. And so then we got in the car and we were driving and my mom had given me really good directions to the restaurant, and so I was like, okay, you know, I'm not going to get lost. Go right here, go left there. And it was still kind of fresh in my mind what she'd told me. So I got us to the restaurant, and, you know, as we were sitting there, we, you know, we placed our order, said, okay, I want this. Grandpa got what he always got, the kind of the lunch special. So we're waiting, and, you know, Grandpa says, are they going to come take our order or what? Says, oh, Grandpa, we already ordered. Your order's on its way. And, you know, it took a little bit of time more. He's like, when are we going to get to order? It's like, okay, Grandpa, you know, we actually placed our order. Our food's coming. Food came. Delicious meal. Nice Midwestern diner food. Enjoyed our lunch. And then got in the car. And, you know, then I had to, as we're driving, I had to reconstruct the directions my mother gave me backwards. In my mind, you know, 3 hours after she told me. So I was thinking, okay, so I just turn left here, then I turn right there. And, you know, as I was about to turn, my grandpa says, you know, no, no, turn left. I was like, I don't know, Grandpa. You know, he didn't remember that my mom had gone out for lunch with my grandma. He didn't remember that we'd ordered lunch. You know, is he really going to be able to get us home? Because out here in rural Iowa, there are not a lot of street signs. And so once you start driving, you know, you can go for 10 miles before you see any sort of road sign whatsoever. And there have been times when I was driving around there and, you know, driving and driving, thinking I was going in the right way, you know, going 10, 15 minutes in one direction, find out that I'd been going in the wrong direction. So there, you know, not only did I add half an hour to the journey, but I was already, you know, half an hour away. So, you know, could easily lose an hour of your life getting lost out in these cornfields, you know, light rolling hills, but it all kind of looks the same. Rolling hills, farms, silos. Oh, didn't I just see that silo? Oh, but it looks just like that other silo over there. You know, and you maybe get on one road in the wrong direction. So I was very nervous, but I decided, you know, I'm not going to argue with Grandpa. You know, eventually if we get really lost, you know, I can just pull into a farm somewhere and they probably know my grandpa, can probably tell me the way back to his house. So I just sort of took his word and he says, turn right here, turn left there. And I realized we were on completely different roads than the ones that we had come on to get there. And so I was getting really nervous. But, you know, I sort of mentioned, Grandpa, this isn't the way that Mom sent us. And he said, oh, your mother, she just gave you she kept you on the big roads. We're taking the shortcut to get back. I said, okay, you know, but I'm thinking, you know, he grew up here. He's been living here for over 80 years. You know, he knows this, you know, and as we're driving, he's telling me stories, you know, oh, you know, that guy's son, he used to always burn rubber on the roads and ruin his dad's tires. And, oh, I know that guy. I was in the army with him. And so he's telling me all these stories as we're driving along. And finally, we go down this familiar hill and then back up. And there we are. There we are at their farm. And so I realized that, you know, well, he didn't remember where my mother had gone that afternoon. And he didn't remember that he had already ordered lunch, but he remembered the way home. He had that clear direction, that destination of the way home. A few years later, we went to visit him. At this point, he had been moved into a retirement center. He was living in the Iowa VA, which in the state of Iowa, there's only one veterans association, one veterans home for the entire state. You know, here in California, we're fortunate. We have, you know, the one in Palo Alto, which is close by here. But then you also have, you know, Southern California and here and there all over the state. But Iowa, low population density. There's just one VA for the whole state, one veterans home. And so our family decided that would be a good place for my grandfather to live. It was a good place. He was getting excellent care there. They had a very, you know, full staff. He had, as I mentioned, some memory issues, and they had specialists who could give him good treatment. But, you know, the drawback was it was 3.5 hours from my grandmother's farm, which is another almost 5 hours from where my parents live. So for us to go visit him, it would be first the 4.5 to 5 hour drive to my grandmother's house, then the additional 3.5 hour drive down to see my grandpa. But you know, we were living out here in California. I'd been living in Japan for many years prior to this, so I didn't get to see my grandfather often. And I thought, while I was back visiting my parents, our older son Dioma was about 2.5 at this point. We decided, okay, you know, we should really make this trip to go see Grandpa. Actually, Dioma, I think, was 1.5, actually. And then when he was 1.5, he hated riding in the car. And so the idea of like an 8-hour car journey was like the most frightening thing my wife and I could imagine at that point in our lives. But we said, we thought it's important to go see Grandma. It'll mean a lot to Grandma for us to all go together. So we went down, spent the night at her house, got in the car, and then drove the 3 hours down to the Iowa Veterans Home. And an Iowa Veterans Home is interesting because they have these little cottages that are there. It's the Midwest, you know, land is cheap. So they have these little houses that are built right there on the property where you can stay for about $15 a night or something. Very cheap. You get this whole house, kitchen, whole setup for the whole family. So we got two of these cottages, actually, one for Shoko and Dioma and I, and one for my parents and my grandmother. And it was like this little winter vacation that we had. And we got to spend Christmas Eve there with my grandfather at this home. And when we went in to see him, it was clear that he didn't really know who any of us were, right? When people have advancing, he had Alzheimer's disease, and so as the Alzheimer's disease advances, he didn't know, you know, there was not a sense of, like, recognition, like, oh, this is my wife, this is my daughter, you know, this is my son-in-law, this is my grandson, this is my great-grandson. But it was interesting, he was happy to see the toddler, the baby. He had a sort of response to that. And as always, he was delighted to see my parents' dog. The time they had a fluffy Tibetan Spaniel, if you know what they look like, sort of like a Pekingese, this long, fluffy white dog, you know, the perfect lap dog. And he was so happy. He just, you know, as soon as he saw the dog, he just like reached out his arms and they gave him the dog, and he just sat there smiling and petting the dog the whole time. You know, it didn't matter. We were just the people who brought the dog, right? You know, it wasn't, you know, there was, you know, no sort of sense of personal recognition of us. And, you know, as we were leaving, you know, we were sort of reflecting and thinking about, you know, the trip. We said goodbye. We'd had a really nice visit. And driving back in the car, you know, I was talking with my father, and he was sort of, you know, thinking out loud, is like, wow, you know, it seemed like Grandpa didn't really know, Harold is my grandfather's name, Harold didn't really seem to, you know, recognize us. You know, I wonder, you know, if it meant anything for him that we went to visit him. And as I was, you know, thinking about this, I was sort of looking at this from the perspective of the Buddha's teachings and the way that the Buddha encourages us to think about our lives. And the Buddha teaches that the most important thing in life is not this physical body, not even this mind, which for all of us is constantly changing. And for none of us will be continuous throughout our lives. All of us will one day arrive at that state in one way or another, physically weakened, mentally weakened. This is an unavoidable part of our lives. And yet, the Buddha teaches that that is not the entirety of our existence, but that our true life is something beyond that, that there's something true and real that is unchanging in our lives, even though our bodies and minds at some point weaken. And that thing that is unchanging is this connection. We use the Japanese word goen, this karmic connection that we share with one another and the way in which that is expressed. So when I think about that visit to see my grandfather, I'm reminded that that kindness, you know, that opportunity for us to bring him the dog, to bring him that happiness of that moment of warmth. And whether or not he knew, this is my wife, this is my daughter, this is my son-in-law, grandson, so on and so forth, that sense of companionship and company brought him a feeling of joy and happiness. And that sense of joyful togetherness is his life, is the most important matter. So it doesn't matter in the most essential sense whether or not he knew who we were, because that kindness that existed for us was unchanged, unbounded by his body and his mind. A few years later, he, as I mentioned, passed over to the other shore, and I had to make an urgent trip back home to Minnesota. At the time, we were living in Oxnard in Southern California, so I had to quickly rearrange my schedule, find someone to cover my responsibilities and so forth, and make a trip to Iowa. And everybody in my family was doing the same thing. Our family is spread all over North America. My mother lives in Minneapolis. My parents live in Minneapolis. My grandparents living in Iowa. Two of my uncles live in Iowa, one in Missouri, one in Seattle, and two in Alaska. So my mom's oldest of seven. And all of these family members making these various arrangements, coming together. All of us West Coaster people met up at Minneapolis International Airport and drove down to Iowa together. And it was a very, for me, a wonderful journey to come together with my cousins, who I hadn't seen in probably 5, maybe 10 years. And they're, you know, high school age, so it had been more than half their life I hadn't seen them. Last time I saw them, they were these little kids. Now they're all, you know, these young people. Got together, drove down to Iowa, had this gathering of all of our family members, people who hadn't been all gathered together in one place in a very long time, and coming together as a family, remembering my grandfather, comforting one another, but also laughing and smiling. You know, that's one of the things that happens at funerals. People all get together, they're laughing, they're smiling, they're sad that they've lost someone, but it's also bringing families together. This month of March is the month in which we celebrate the Ohigan service. Ohigan is the time when the sun sets directly in the west at the autumn and the spring equinox. Other times of year, it may be a little to the north or a little to the south, but during Ohigan, the direction of the west is very clear, very clear. And for us in the, particularly the Pure Land Buddhist tradition, the direction of the west is of profound importance, because we're taught that the Pure Land, this world of Amida Buddha, resides in the west. Why is it the west? We often wonder, you know, could it be the north? Could it be the east? Could it be the south? Indeed, we're taught that there are the realms of other Buddhas that exist in all the countless directions. And yet for us, we naturally turn toward the west. The west is the direction of the setting sun, when the sun goes down, marking the end of the day, the conclusion, the entering of darkness, passing into what for us is, in a sense, the unknown. So as we turn to that direction, we reflect on guidance and look for some clear direction. The end of our lives also is like the setting of the sun. We don't know for ourselves what lies beyond. We haven't died yet, right? If we died, we wouldn't be here right now. Okay? And so we look for guidance in the words of the Buddha, the one who truly understood the great matter of life and death. And in that, we find the clarity and the understanding of that setting sun, of that end of the day, how to look in the Western direction, how to look in our own lives, moment to moment, recognizing that for all of us, aging physically and mentally is a reality that we face. And so, hearing this Nembutsu teaching, we're taught to always turn to that direction of the West to reflect on this precious opportunity that we have to be alive today, but also to look to the guidance of the Buddha and the assurance that trusting in Amida Buddha, trusting in the wisdom and compassion of the Buddha's teachings, that there's no cause for alarm, no need to turn away, but rather clearly facing that direction, guided and supported by the wisdom of the Buddha, who teaches us that the true and real connection that we share with each other as fellow travelers on this journey goes beyond the bounds of birth and death. So for me, this is a time to reflect upon my journey, but also the journey of those who have gone before and who for me now serve as a guide and an inspiration. People like my grandfather, who never said the words Namo Amida Butsu, but for me in my heart, he is Namo Amida Butsu. His life is that guiding principle showing me the way to this Western shore. So I'm grateful to all of you for joining us this morning and for having this opportunity to come together and together to face this Western direction. 浄土が最方 ということですね。阿弥陀如来のお浄土西方ということですね。ちょうど今3月にお彼岸の時期に太陽がまっすぐ西の方に沈んでいく。私たちのこういうまっすぐ西、なぜ西かということですね。まあ、西が一番修行、私たち人間として導かれやすい方向ですね。私たちみんな人生の太陽がいつか沈んでいくということあるんですね。それがまあ亡くなるということですが、そういう死というものを怖がらずに、それが向かっていく、太陽が沈んでいく、でそれが迎えるというのは阿弥陀如来極楽浄土へ行けることがその方向であるということですね。どこに行っても人生の何があっても、そういう正しい浄土に往生して仏となれる方向が私たちに仏様から与えられていることですね。でその西方の浄土の確認できるものは南無阿弥陀仏の念仏、仏様の呼び声、こっちに来なさい、こっちの方に向かってくださいというお言葉、力、お心をいただくことができます。まあ、誠にありがたいことで、どんなに大変なことがあっても、どんなに恐ろしい事実に向かい合うときは、それが仏様に身を任せて、それに乗り越える、生き抜ける力がそこからいただくことですね。まあ、本日の、この、西方のことを共に向かって、共に念仏を唱えるご縁を感謝しております。So, at this time, I'd like to once again read these words of Shinran Shonin. 合唱をお願いします。Practice in the world of the five defilements is full of regressions. Nothing can equal saying the Nembutsu and going to the West. Once there, one naturally realizes perfect enlightenment. Returning to the world of suffering, one becomes a bridge for others.
Namo Amida Butsu. 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 Namo Amida Butsu.